All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining us on this Saturday, May 20th, 2017, although it's more like October out there at the moment. It's raining, it's cold. It's kind of a bizarre stretch of week. Always a pleasure to have my man, my main man, Steve Goldman in studio. How you doing, bud?
Always a pleasure, Anthony. You're right. What a difference a week makes. We went from April to August, and now it's November.
Yeah, you know? Something like that.
I guess time flies when you're having fun, huh?
Certainly when you're doing this show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Looking forward to our guest this week. We're talking to John Sherman, practicalgolf.com. It's practical-golf.com. I'm really very interested. He's been on the show before. Sort of I like to think we have a good, decent pulse on golf in general, but I really think he has a lot of insight and definitely has his hand on the pulse of amateur golf and trying to make people better and why they're not better than they think they should be and all that kind of stuff. So I think it should be an interesting conversation.
Well, he has a very unique perspective on how to improve your game because he talks about things like practice and not just, you know, mechanics of the swing, but how to practice or what should you be doing while you're practicing. So it'd be very, very interesting to talk to him and hear his thoughts about what he thinks are, you know, the misconceptions about how to improve your game and what he believes his solutions are.
Yep, absolutely. All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. Scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org.
Play like a pro with a custom set of PXG clubs in your bag. Designed to deliver unrivaled performance and fitted to optimize your game, PXG clubs will help you unlock your true potential. We guarantee you've never played like this before. For PXG clubs at Pete's Golf Shop today.
Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. You're listening to Steve and I, and we're pleased to be joined by John Sherman, practical-golf.com. John, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show again. I appreciate it.
You got it. I wanted to ask you what you thought, what have you learned to this point about golf or in your goals? Since you started this website, maybe just to go over a couple of things that you feel like you've that you know now that you didn't know then.
that could be a really long conversation. I'll try and pick.
A half hour, John. So take your time.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main reason I started the site was really to help golfers manage expectations. I believe that's the thing that most players struggle with, you know, myself included, for many years. And that's really your enjoyment of the game and what you want out of it. So that's kind of why I started this site. And what I've learned since then is a lot more, you know, how to practice more effectively, proper strategy out on the course, the mental game. There has been a lot of stuff about the swing that I've learned. You know, my site's not really about the golf swing, but, you know, from time to time I'll talk about some concepts that I think could be important for golfers to understand. So those are kind of like the main categories of what I've learned. And then there's, you know, I think I've written about 250 articles at this point. So it certainly gets broken down into a lot more subcategories.
John, one thing that struck me on the website was the line that you said, there's too much instruction and not enough coaching. Can you explain what that philosophy is?
Yeah, and that's kind of why I started the site also. I didn't really know it at the time. And actually, Woody Lashin from Pete's Golf was the one who finally like made it clear for me. He's like, oh, you're just coaching people. I was like, yeah. I think I said that tweet out the other day, and you know, the golf world has traditionally been focused on the swing, which is fine. I mean, the swing is really the main vehicle to scoring. You know, let's be honest, it's arguably the most important thing in your golf game is the quality of your swing. I think there's a lot more outside of that. And, you know, if you've got problems with your swing, go see a qualified teaching professional. I totally support that. But what coaching is everything outside of that, outside of the technical elements of the swing, like what I mentioned earlier, how are you practicing? You know, how is your mental game? How are you strategizing on the golf course from shot to shot? There's a whole other area of how you manage your golf game, which I think directly impacts your scores outside of just the swing. Like I've known golfers who have amazing swings, but they couldn't manage their emotions and they wouldn't score well. Conversely, I've known some golfers with really unorthodox swings that people would never recommend doing, and they've managed to score well because, you know, they have a great mental game, they play within themselves, they work with what they've got. So it's not just about the swing, and that's why I think, you know, coaching is so important, because you need to help golfers manage their games. It's not an easy thing to do because there's just so many elements to golf, and that's where I think coaching comes in. It's really pointing people in the right direction, and that's what I try and do with my writing.
Wouldn't you say, though, and it seems like the majority of your demographic is the recreational golfer. I mean, there's definitely stuff on there that could help competing, you know, what I call the professional amateur. But isn't really the thing that holds back recreational amateurs is the fact is that they're pretty much professional liars. I mean, they lie to themselves. they lie to themselves about how good they are. They lie to themselves how bad, you know, how far they hit the ball. They lie to themselves of what they actually can do on the golf course. I mean, they're constantly lying to themselves. So how are they expecting to really find the truth in their game?
Sure, and I think that, you know, maybe lies is a little bit strong word. I think it's
he's a strong guy.
I call it optimism, maybe false optimism, if you want to call it that.
Naivete? Yeah, sure. Some naivete, John?
Excuse me?
Naivete.
Yeah, exactly. I think that, you know, listen, when you're on the golf course, I've been around players who, again, the managing expectations part. I was on the golf course last week, and I was just watching another group go by, and there was, you know, two players who hit shots that I thought were representative of their skill level. These guys went absolutely insane. They lost their minds. Why?
Right.
Why did they expect to hit the better shot? Because, I mean, you can answer that question a million ways. You know, we watch the pros on TV. They make it look a lot easier. We're not being honest with our own skills. We're not putting in the time to be deserving of the skills we think we have. So, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, right, there were... And I know you said it's a strong word, and I am being a bit dramatic. I am Italian, so I can tend to be. But you know, but you just said it right. We're not honest, so we're lying to ourselves. I mean, you see, how many times have we been on the golf course where the guy who can't carry the ball, you know, 150 yards or 200, you know, 200, and he's waiting for the green to clear on a par five. We know that guy is never going to hit the green. I almost can guarantee it. I almost would bet my house on it. But there he is waiting from 250 yards out for the green to clear on a par five. When we know, and that's where your website comes in handy. We're talking with John Sherman, and his website is practical-golf.com, where, you know, you talk about strategy and game management, what is scoring for you is different than what scoring for me is different, what scoring for Steve, which is different for you, yourself, as a scratch golfer. So, and that's really what I was getting at with the lying and the dishonesty. It doesn't help them. It only holds them back.
Yeah, well, here's kind of what I think is the case. I try and reveal what I believe is the truth to a better game for most people. And unfortunately, for someone who's looking to break 100 or 90, you know, the truth about improving their game, like, it's not a very sexy answer, I'll be honest with you. Like,
right.
People want to know, like, they want to hit the ball 270 yards off the tee, you know, fire at pins. Like, that's not how you break 90 or 80 or 100, any of those scores.
Right.
It's about, you know, doing small things throughout your round that are smarter that can save a few strokes. Like, for example, I was playing with a friend last year who, you know, is a very typical golfer you'd see out on public courses, you know, shooting in the 90s. And I was trying to help him, and he had hit an errant tee shot. And, you know, we're looking at this green. I'm like, what are you thinking here? Just to hear your thought process. And he's like, well, I'm just going to go under this tree and, you know, fly over that trap on the green. And I was like,
was there a pelican involved? Did he have to knock the pelican off the?
And like,
it's a hooded four iron.
If I had put Rory McIlroy in that spot, I don't think if I gave him 20 balls, he could have hit the green with more than one or two of them.
Right.
It was that hard of a shot, but you know, he was willing to take the risk, which essentially what it boils down to is making that, you know, compounding the initial error with another one is probably going to result in a double or triple bogey. Whereas had he just done the smarter and more conservative thing, you know, he'd probably be making bogey at worst. And that's not the answer most people want to hear. But if you really do want to lower your scores, those are the types of things you have to do. And again, golfers, some people just don't want to hear it. They don't have the discipline to follow through with it on the course. That's fine. But I believe that is the truth. If you're looking for the ways to improve, that's one of the ways to do it.
To me, like, you know, my answer to hearing that story, the only acceptable answer is, and I wish, to be honest with you, I wish more recreational golfers really took on this mantra was, I would love if that guy said, I'm here to have fun and try stuff like this. I don't really care what I shoot. And in the end, he probably would probably shoot a better score anyway, but because he doesn't care if
sure.
he did it, if he did and, it, you know, with a lack of expectation. But, you know, and I wish, and I feel like, you know, there's also that kind of divide or that, you know, of the guys who really care or care too much about their score versus are we just here to have fun group too.
Yeah, and again, it's, you know, that's also what I try and explore with golfers is, like, what do you really want out of the game? You know, I talk about time a lot because, you know, I'm in the same situation as every other golfer out there. I have two young children. I don't have unlimited time to work on my golf game. I take some extraordinary measures to do it because, you know, I care a lot. I compete and I want to get better. So I take things to a little bit of extreme with how I prepare, but for someone who only has, you know, an hour or two to practice during the week and play once, you know, twice, maybe three times a month, what's a reasonable expectation for that amount of time you can commit to the game? I don't think it's, you know, you're going to be shaving 5-10 strokes off your game. You have to set small goals based on the amount of time that you have. If you had more time to work with a teaching professional and practice more effectively and play more, then yeah, I would say like your chances of improving are much higher. So it's difficult because we all want to play better. It's just, do we actually have the time to do it? Because it does require, you know, a commitment on your part. If improvement is your goal, you can just play this game and not keep score and just enjoy walking outside with your friends. But, you know, you don't have to be improving.
So you were talking about practicing effectively, which is something that's really kind of near and dear to my heart because, you know, a lot of times when I'm out playing with people that don't play a lot, their biggest complaint is, you know, I play once a week or I play all the time and I never get better. And I said, you're really not going to get better just by playing. You really have to practice. You really have to be in some sort of controlled environment where you can find something to work on. So I'm always curious about people's thoughts about how to effectively practice getting better. Because a lot of times you see people just, you know, take a driver out, hit 50 balls in an hour and say, okay, I'm done. You know, now I'm ready to go on the golf course. And I can't imagine a worse philosophy than that.
Exactly. And, you know, this was something that I complained about for years, like every other golfer out there is like, I'd go to the driving range and hit hundreds of balls as a kid. And then I'd wonder why I wasn't hitting the ball that well on the course. And it's, you know, the answer is fairly simple. I wasn't really recreating or doing my best to recreate the environment in my practice sessions that I would be facing on the course. You certainly can't do a complete simulation, but it's no different than, you know, a basketball team or a football team trying to do scrimmages to reenact the live action that they're going to face in a game. It's not going to be exactly the same, but they want to get as close as possible. So it's more about working smarter than harder, in my opinion. So if you've got 30 minutes to hit balls, you know, just hitting your 7-iron and driver to the same target over and over and over again is not much. It's not going to do much to develop skill, and that's kind of what a lot of people talk about with smart practice is skill development. Whereas if you challenged yourself with, you know, maybe you took a 7-iron and you were trying to hit it 50, 100, 150 yards, all different targets, trying to hit all different kinds of shots, that will stimulate your mind and body a bit more to try and find out how to self-organize and hit shots that maybe you would encounter on the course because, you know, you hit it in the trees, you might have to hit a 50-yard hook to get out of there. So it's more about challenging yourself, random targets, putting pressure. I think practice games are a great way to do that. But most golfers default to showing up. They're not even picking targets. They're just hitting balls mindlessly, which is fine if you want to relieve some stress, but I don't think it's going to do much to improve your golf game. So that's kind of the short of it. And then, you know, on the website, I talk about specific type of practice games you can do. And other kinds of things that I believe will make your practice sessions more efficient. So, again, it's not just showing up and hitting balls. It doesn't entitle you to become a better golfer, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. We got to get to a short break. We're back in 1 minute. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
At Winfield United, we understand the challenges you face and the goals you have. We promise to do our best and to help you do yours. With the introduction of tools like the Geotech Insight platform and products like Droplex Extra, we are advancing the industry to new levels, allowing you to manage your time and budget more efficiently. Visit WinfieldUnitedPro.com to find a representative near you today. Winfield United, a proud sponsor of the Long Island Golf Course Superintendents Association.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony, he's Steve, and on the line is John Sherman of practical-golf.com. What have you learned, John, about the mental side of the game? And, you know, one of the things that I think are great about, you know, especially for you, about writing all this stuff is you learn all this stuff. How much of it has it helped you, and what did you specifically about how your mind works or how you approach the game mentally? What have you learned in that regard?
I think, you know, I've been playing this game for over 20 years now, and I would characterize, you know, the first 80% of that time as being terribly inefficient at handling my emotions on the golf course. I mean, there's no question. Golf is a really difficult game, and anyone who's going to tell you that, you know, you can control your reaction to every shot, I don't think is being honest with you. What I do think you can do as a player in this game is get incrementally better at managing your emotions on the course. And there's a few ways to think about that. I believe, first and foremost, if you go out there with the attitude that I'm here to have fun, you know, a lot of things could change for you. And that's not easy to do because we know what happens when we hit that tee shot out of bounds and early in the round. It can put a damper on things. And you almost have to remind yourself that, like, you know, I'm not doing this for a living. I'm out here as a leisurely activity, and make fun the most important part of the experience. Because if it's not fun, why are you out there? And I even think that way when I'm playing in competitive environments. You know, I'm playing a tournament next week that I'd like to play well in, but, you know, it's not for money. You know, not that much is really on the line. I'm sure I'll be very nervous, but the tournaments that I've played the best in, I've had the most fun. So know, that's a very simplistic approach to the mental game, but I think that has to be at the top of the list for anyone who's not playing this game as a profession. And if you can work towards that or just remind yourself of that, I actually think your scores will improve. That would be my 100% best recommendation to anyone.
John, do you think the unreasonable expectations of the golfer does get in the way of the mental side? You know, they see the scorecard and they see, you know, from the blues or the blacks, you know, it's a 7,000-yard golf course. And, you know, they're, an 18 handicap, and there's no way that their score is ever going to be something that's satisfactory. You think, you know, there's a lot of ego involved in trying to dial it back a little bit and, say, play from the middle tees or even from a forward tee just for the sake of being able to have a good time.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. I mean, in terms of playing the course from the proper tees, like, you know, you absolutely should not be playing a tee that's too far for your game, because that will certainly make it less enjoyable for you. You know, if you go to, if you're going to Bethpage and playing the tips from the red or the black course, like, you're going to be in for a rough day if that's not your not up to your playing ability. It to me, everything in golf in terms of enjoyment in the mental game gets back to managing expectations. That's why it's so important. If I go out there on the course where, you know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, if I hit a terrible shot, I would, you know, get so upset and, you know, scold myself, when the reality is I was supposed to hit that bad shot. There's not a golfer on this planet who goes through 18 holes, and I'm talking about the professionals as well, who doesn't hit bad shots. It's just part of this game. And if you can almost, you know, Martin Hall made a great comment to me once when I was talking to him. You know, Jack Nicklaus himself, who he spent many years around, would almost laugh at himself when he hit terrible shots. And that's kind of a strategy I use now myself, is that they're going to happen. I can guarantee it. You're going to hit bad shots during a round. Are you going to let it slide off your back quickly, or are you going to sit there and ruminate about it over the next, you know, 5 or 6 holes and let it destroy the rest of your round, and more importantly, your enjoyment of the day? So, again, understanding that it's a imperfect game, it's terribly difficult, you're going to hit bad shots at any level. What can you do to remind yourself of this when it happens? Very hard to do in the moment, but I think that's, you know, something everyone should be striving towards, is that, you know, when a bad shot or an error occurs, like, think about it as, why did it occur? You know, what can I do to fix it? And more importantly, let's put it behind me now. I've got more shots to worry about. You know, these are difficult concepts to implement on the course, but I think it's the only way to do it, you know, because the other option of losing your temper and scolding yourself is not going to work long term. And that's why a lot of people give up the game, because they just can't manage those emotions and expectations.
And in there lies the irony, because the amateur is so, in for the most part, divorced from reality, that the people that they are emulating, the people that they love, I mean, one of the things, I mean, one of my favorite golfers is Phil Mickelson. All right, he's my favorite golfer. But but the bottom line is, I mean, Phil hits it way left all the time, or he hits it way right.
Yeah.
Like, we love all that stuff.
Play half the time.
Right, like, half the people, like, I mean, how could you be, the people that you admire as a golfer are literally doing the same things you are doing. So, but you're scolding yourself as a 15 handicap. You know, you get what I'm saying?
You know what the best exercise to do is, and I've been trying to do this more and more in articles recently, taking statistics from the PGA Tour, which they have phenomenal statistics because of shot length, and using that as a benchmark
right.
for average golfers. I'll throw a few at you that are kind of crazy. From 100 to 125 yards in terms of proximity to the hole, the best player on tour right now is averaging about 14 feet to the hole. You would assume that from, you know, with a wedge in their hands from the fairway, that, you know, PGA Tour players would be painting pins. They're not. I think the average is somewhere between 20 to 30 feet. And they're not even averaging birdie from there.
Right.
So, you know, if a guy walks up on the fairway, he's got 115 yards to the hole, and, you know, he misses the green or he hits it 40 feet away from the hole on the green, he's like getting angry at himself. We're like, why? You know, PGA Tour, the best player in the world, who at the moment, from that distance, is not averaging closer than 15 feet on all of his shots.
I have to interrupt you there because I'm just so glad you brought it up because you just replicated the word for word the conversation Steve and I had prior to the show talking about things we were going to talk about with you, and you literally just took the words right out of our mouths, and that was the exact...
He really does know the mental part of the game, doesn't he?
Reading minds. And not only did you replicate it, but you actually chose the same club and the same proximity distance stat that I was explaining to Steve that as a to prove my argument that we're once again the amateur is divorced from reality, even when it comes to their own the people that they admire on the golf course as a professional, and you use the exact stat club statistics that I was telling him.
Here, I'll throw one more at you.
One more because we're getting close to the end, and I want to ask you one more question.
This is the most important one, I think. This is from a guy called Scott Bossett, who has a great course management system called Decade. He has a piece in his course where he talks about recovery situations, like that example I spoke before where the golfer was in the tree. On average, a PGA Tour player in a recovery situation, on average, they don't score better than bogey. So if you are in the trees and you punch out, hit on the green, and two-putt for a bogey, you're equaling the performance of a PGA Tour player. Let that sit down for a second.
Right.
The best in the world are not averaging better than bogey from those situations.
Right.
And you're trying to thread it through the trees and get it on the green and make a birdie or a par.
Right.
You're nuts. You're nuts.
Exactly.
John, on your website.
You don't know you're nuts, but you are.
John, on your website, practical-golf.com, you give the users an option to become a Practical Golf Insider. What are the benefits of taking advantage of that opportunity?
So what I tried to do is kind of take it a step further with the instructional material. I got together a bunch of teaching pros and coaches that I respect. And they shot a bunch of videos on stuff you can do on how to practice more effectively with your swing, a lot of skill development stuff. We've got practice games on there. If you're on the putting green or at the range, things you can do to challenge yourself and have fun. We've got some ebooks on there. And then there's some discounts from certain golf companies. And also a collection of audio recordings I did with the coaches. So it's kind of like a more intense package of information for players who want to, really it's focused around practicing more effectively. What can you do during your practice sessions to get the most out of them? And that's what that information is really geared towards.
John, we're just about out of time. I can't thank you enough. Really appreciate the conversation. It's been a pleasure. You can see and get more from John at practical-golf.com. Thanks again, John.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
You got it. Anytime. All right, that was John Sherman from practical-golf.com. We're going to take a short break to wrap things up. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Play like a pro with a custom set of PXG clubs in your bag. Designed to deliver unrivaled performance and fitted to optimize your game, PXG clubs will help you unlock your true potential. We guarantee you've never played like this before. Get fitted for PXG clubs at Pete's Golf Shop today.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony. He is Steve. Steve, always a great conversation with John. I thought, I think it's beneficial to the average golfer to understand, quite frankly, what's real and what's not real.
All you have to do is look at Jordan Spieth. Yesterday, he's three holes away from making the cut playing the weekend. What do you want to call him? The unofficial, now that Byron Nelson unfortunately has passed.
Right.
He's the unofficial host of this tournament, in his hometown.
Right.
And he... pipes two drives out of bounds, makes a quad, and now he's trunk slamming and signing autographs and going home.
Right, exactly. And the average 15 handicapper is worried about missing a green from 150 yards.
Yeah.
Or 120 yards.
Exactly. Or yeah. Or that four footer that they read for a half an hour and they still can't make the putt. So
it's because they're all liars.
That's right.
They're all liars.
Everybody lies.
Everybody lies. All right, you're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thanks as always to have Steve in studio. It was a pleasure to have your company this weekend, folks. Make sure you get out there when it does warm up and see your local professional instructor. Get better the right way. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Teardrops on the city burn.